And that in your role as a leader, you shape and define the outcome of our organizations and their success. So the first thing I want you to do is understand that in your role as a leader, you impact lives and livelihoods. The second thing that I would like for you to get from today is that I would like for you to gain some important insight into the question, who are you as a leader? I'll be saying that question over and over again today because it's core to today's webinar. And the question again is, who are you as a leader? What do you stand for? And the third thing I would like for you to get out of today's webinar is at least the identification of two of your unique leadership attributes and values, as well as an understanding of how your values can practically enhance your leadership and provide relevancy to the contributions that you make in your leadership role. So three main things today. A couple housekeeping things before we start. One is I would like to ask for your active participation and attention. I'll be asking questions and asking you to enter in on your chat room answers to questions. So love your participation, and I think the more that you participate, the more you'll get out of it. I would like to ask you to focus, to eliminate distractions. If you've got cell phones, emails, texting, if your door's open, people can interrupt, I would ask that you try to eliminate as many distractions as possible for today so that you can really concentrate on this, because it's important for you and for your leadership. So with that said, let me share with you one of my greatest beliefs, and that is that, and I've learned this from my 35 years of experience as a leader, and that is that leadership is a privilege. And it's an honor. And it's also a big responsibility. I understand that. Because when you are at the helm, when you are the one that people are looking to make decisions, to give them vision, to take them forward into scary uncertainty or change, that's a lot riding on your shoulders. You're always a role model. People always watch you as a leader. And I would surmise that for the most part, most of us go through our busy days and busy lives kind of oblivious and forgetting that who we are and the example that we're setting, our attitude, our character, and our conduct are being watched, are being emulated, and are impacting the development and the potential of those who follow and look up to us. So our role as leaders is really, really critical. And I want to bring that statement down to a personal level and do an exercise now that I call the bad boss, good boss exercise to make it kind of down home and personal. So what I would like to ask you now, ask all of you, is to think of the worst boss you've ever had in your entire life. I want you to bring to mind the worst boss that you've ever had. Now, it didn't take me long to bring that guy into my mind, because he sure made an impact on me. So if you have in your mind now the worst boss you've ever had, I want to ask you to raise your hand by going to the left side of the screen, and it's the third icon from the left. And raise your hand if you can think of the worst boss you've ever had. Oh, we're getting a lot of dings. Ding, 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 ding. Not too hard to remember these bad bosses. Oh, my goodness. Oh, got a few bad bosses out there. All right. Now, what I'd like you to do, now that you've got the worst boss in your mind, and I won't leave him there or her there forever, I would like for you to enter into the chat room two words that describe that person's character. Two words to describe that person's leadership character. If you would put those into the chat room, we'll take a look at those and see what kind of characteristics we can expect from bad bosses. Let me see if I can go into that chat room. Whoa! Hey, hey, hey. That's interesting. All right. Wow. That didn't take long. Okay, let me read some of these. These are interesting. Wow. Thank you for bringing these bad bosses back into our consciousness, huh? People we'd probably like to forget. All right. Wow, so many. Okay, let me just start. Impersonal, arrogant, dishonest, irresponsible, impatient, micromanaging, inconsistent, doesn't care, self-serving, impersonal, doesn't care, small-minded, arrogant, brown noser. Okay, cheap, closed-minded, volatile, angry, aggressive, self-centered, doesn't keep their word, uninformed, manipulative, unfair, weak, arrogant, untrustworthy, insecure, uncaring, insecure, bully, megalomaniac, fraudulent, that's a good one, dishonest, top-down, know-it-all. Okay, so you get the picture that there are bad bosses out there, and these are some of the attributes of bad bosses, and we've seen plenty of it personally, and we've also seen it on the large scale in terms of politics and financial institutions and big business and on and on. Okay, now, on the other side of the coin, I'd like for you to bring to mind the best boss you've ever had. And this could be a leader, a boss, it could be a mentor, it could be a teacher, but I want you to bring to mind the best boss, the best leader who's made the most positive influence on you ever in your entire life. So again, go back and raise your hand if you can bring a really great leader or a good boss into your mind. All right, I'm getting lots of dings here. Yeah, I've got mine too. I've had a couple, at least two people who've made a huge impact on my life and really changed me for the better. Okay, now that you've got that person, the good boss in your mind, I'd like for you to write down two words that describe the character of that person. Two words to describe the character of a really great leader or boss that you've personally benefited from. And I'll take a look at those. Okay, get my glasses back on. Nice, nice, nice. Empowering, fun to work with. Sincere, genuine. Let me see, I'm going the wrong way. Focused, motivating, sincere, encourages growth. Let me get some more of these. Consistent, fun to work with. Hold on here, get a couple more. Honest, good listener, communicator, teacher, empowering, high standards, challenging, good listener again, cares. So these are some of the attributes of good bosses. So, on a personal level, most of us have experienced the powerful impacts and influence that good bosses and bad bosses can have on us as individuals. I don't know how you reacted to your bad boss situations. For me personally, I left a career field because of a really bad boss. And not only did that person impact me in a pretty negative way. But worst was the person was a bully, and they really affected the self-esteem of a lot of people who didn't have the strength or courage to leave the environment in the workplace. So this guy really battered their self-esteem. And what can be worse than damaging someone's sense of their self? So we all know on a personal level that good bosses and bad bosses have a powerful influence. But today is not about good bosses or bad bosses, not about others. Today is about you. And the question for today is, who are you as a leader? For as much as we talk about all the bad leaders out there and what people are doing wrong and complain about leaders in our own work situation, the truth is we probably won't change other people, but what we can change are ourselves. So to start with the fundamental question to exceptional leadership is to ask yourself and take a look at, who am I as a leader? Now, as leaders, you have choices. We've seen some of the types of attributes that different leaders have. Your choices include such things as you can choose to be accountable and responsible for your life and your leadership. Whatever is going on around you, you can take responsibility for it. Or, on the flip side, you can blame others or see yourself as a victim. Your choice. You can lead with integrity and honesty, or you can withhold, or in an extreme circumstance, you can actually be dishonest. You can lead with courage and strength and willingness to move through change and to accept challenges and deal with uncertainty and help others with that in a courageous way. Or you can be fearful and dominating and authoritarian, attributes that go along with fear, usually masking fear. You can be altruistic. You can move beyond yourself and serve the greater good. Or you can be self-serving, egotistical, what's in it for me. You can lead with faith in yourself, faith in others, and what a gift that is when you believe in others, and lead with hope. Or you can be despairing. You can be resigned. You can be cynical. As a leader, as a person, you always have choices. So what I want to do right now is show an 8-minute video that I have produced for this presentation. I think you'll really, really enjoy it. And while you're watching, I want you to continue to think and ponder the question, who am I as a leader? And I'll be back with you in 8 minutes. So I'm going to turn this over to Emily. And they'll load this up. Emily, you want to say some things about it? All right. Because different people are running at different speeds, and we want you to have enough time for everybody to see the video. So on the left, hit the play button, then on the right of the screen there, to the right of where it says YouTube, hit escape when you're done, raise your hand so we know you're done. It's just about 8 minutes. It's going to fly by. It's a great video. Thanks, everybody. Okay, I think we're about ding down here. Everybody has come back. So there we go. And let me go to the next slide. I just want to mention, Emily, there, and to those who joined us while we were looking at the video, and I guess you didn't get to look at that video. This video is on my YouTube channel. It's Liftoff Leadership on YouTube, and it's listed as a favorite, and I encourage you to go and look at it, share it, use it with team meetings or department groups or wherever you think it's effective. It's out there to get the message out there. So I hope you enjoyed it. Who are you as a leader is the primary question that we're talking about today. And the question also would be is, what difference does it make if you're skillful, if you're a great strategist, if you're wonderful with numbers and finance and the technicalities and the science side of business, what difference does it make who you are as a leader? Well, from the movie, we've seen that who you are can have a very significant impact in terms of environmental damage. If you care more about the bottom line than you do the possible consequences, we've seen the damage over the last since 2007, 2008, there's been a tremendous amount of damage done to our society because leaders were self-serving or because they were too focused on being successful as it's measured numerically or by wealth accumulation as opposed to being measured as successful because the quality of life is improved. So who you are has a huge impact on your ability to be successful as a leader and your ability to bring people together to be successful with common goals and reaching common goals. So what's gone wrong? What goes wrong in leadership? Hold on just one second. I've got to take a quick pause here and put on. Okay. All right. What goes wrong in leadership that stops people from being exceptional? There's been, over the 35 years that I've been in leadership, I have witnessed a gradual but definite shift in the way that we define ourselves as being successful as leaders. My understanding of leadership is that you're successful if you can combine the structure and the science and the technicalities of business with contribution to the bottom line and contribution to the quality of life and to mankind and to our environment. But over the last couple of decades, we've seen it shift to where we're measuring success numerically. In this slide, you see a picture of that's Kenneth Lay on the left and Jeff Skilling on the right. They were the infamous CEO and CFO of Enron, which was one of the first great big examples of where leadership let themselves and many, many others down and ultimately brought their organization down because their focus was on money to the exclusion of the human side of the balance sheet and the consequences of their financial decisions on the greater good. So we have plenty of examples. As a matter of fact, the Harvard Kennedy School puts out a survey every year. It's called the National Leadership Index. And the latest National Leadership Index tells us that fully 68% of Americans lack trust and confidence in leadership. And that's a disturbing figure because as leaders, if people don't trust us, if they don't have confidence in us, then we really can't lead effectively. And I think overall what we see in our society today is a pervasive lack of trust and confidence in leadership. And that is as a result of leaders making decisions that aren't of benefit to mankind. So we've got to bring in the human side of the balance sheet has to be elevated so that we're combining money and meaning at the same time. The solution to combining money and meaning, the solution to an erosion of trust, the solution to exceptional leadership starts with you. Our future really needs it. And again, what you need to be able to do is balance money and meaning, contribute not only to the bottom line, but also to humanity environment and the environment. And the way to do this is to be in touch with the fundamental values and attributes unique to you as a leader, as a person, that make you exceptional. At the heart of exceptional leadership are values and attributes that elevate the human spirit. What are yours? We talk a lot in business schools, we talk a lot in leadership development and training about leadership skills, the doing of leadership. What we don't talk about enough is who we are, the unique and fundamental values and attributes that we hold, that we bring forth as gifts, that make us great, our finest contributions. So again, what are yours? And let's practically, we're going to get to those. So some of the types of leadership attributes that we'll look at today are courage, perseverance, self-confidence, faith. And when I talk about faith, I'm not necessarily talking about religion. I'm talking about faith in something bigger than ourselves, faith in others, faith in ourselves. Integrity, accountability, vision, being balanced, being fair, being innovative, being kind, being altruistic. These are almost every single one of these leadership attributes came in on our Good Boss exercise, where you identified some of these traits in the best bosses you've ever had. So let's get down to some brass tacks and get practical and get further into the question of who you are as a leader. There is, I know this is hard to read, this is a leadership value clarification exercise that's downloadable on my website. We'll give you more information on that later. And you can take that, and I want you to take that when we're through, but we're going to dabble in it a little bit. And here's something that I think everybody can read. So leadership values, what I'm going to ask you to do is I want you to think about, as I read through this, I want you to think about what holds meaning and purpose to your life and your leadership. What values are unique to you? These are not shoulds. These are not necessarily morals or ethics. The distinction is that morals and ethics are rights and wrongs that are delineated and provided, usually by institutions or cultures, to keep us on the right track. The intention of morals and ethics is good, and they're very worthwhile. But when I'm talking about values, I'm talking about what's core to you. Like, for instance, for me, independence and freedom are values, something I really value. Now, that might not be one of yours, but for me, I need to feel like I have the freedom and the independence to express myself, to be creative, to do what I need to do. It's not, so you can understand why I've been an entrepreneur with that independence and freedom as a value. So in your gut, part of your, I call your leadership DNA, are the values and attributes that define you. So I'm going to read through this list, and as I do, what I'd like for you to do is put into the chat room a few that really hit home that you know are define who you are as a leader, as a person. So as I go through this, if there are some that really hit home with you and you know they're important and meaningful to you, put them down in the chat room. All right, so we have optimism, integrity, and along with that would be honesty, altruism, courage, decisiveness, resolution, vision, love, faith, competence, balance, independence, discipline, innovation, assertiveness, strategic, patient, risk-taking, accountable, self-confident, creative, fun, focused, stability, kindness, possibility, power, authority, inspirational, authentic, honest, passionate, tough-minded, resilient, and then there are others. Like for me, for example, value of mine is a challenge. I need a challenge, and that's not on this list, I don't think. So put down a couple of the values that resonate with you, and then raise your hand, and I'll go through some of these. Okay. All right. Some of the types of values that are held by the people that are participating with us today in a journey to exceptional leadership. Thank you for participating. We have authentic, integrity, accountable, fun, patient, let me go into the chat room here. Mind the chat room. Courage, faith, risk-taking, decisiveness, integrity, competence, honesty, passionate, inspirational, strategic, balanced, visionary, independent, creative, self-confident, again, integrity, creative, authentic, balanced, accountable. So there are a lot of different types of values in this group. And what's important about your values is that you are in touch with yours, that you are clear about the unique values, attributes, guiding principles that are at your core, at your foundation, that give your life and leadership meaning. So, and again, I would encourage everybody to go to my website later, download this checklist, follow the directions, and get at your top five, cut them out, post them on your desk, on your computer so that you see them. Let's take a look at some of the benefits and the relevancy of values. It's easy, it's a lot easier sometimes to talk about the facts and figures, the strategies, the measurements and metrics, the skills that are involved in leadership. But again, we don't talk as much about the values. And, you know, I speak to large groups And sometimes I speak to statewide groups of human resource professionals, and these are the people that should be the vanguards of the human side of the equation in our organizations. And almost consistently in groups of 300 and 400 people, only one or two people in human resources will raise their hands when I ask if value clarification is done in their organizations and in their leadership development programs. We've gotten away from it. But there's really nothing quite as powerful as understanding and operating from who you know yourself to be and respecting and knowing that about others as you lead. So some of the benefits and practical use of your values, the first one I put was to regain a sense of self and self-esteem. That's really huge. And for an example for me, one of my attributes and values is courage and independence, also liking a challenge. When I find myself in a leadership situation, when I find myself involved in a project, when I find myself even in a relationship or any situation in life or leadership where I can't express my greatest strengths and attributes, where I'm not allowed to be courageous, when I am asked to play small, when I am asked to go to be in a conformed type of environment, I lose a sense of who I am, and my self-esteem can suffer. When I step up and remember that I'm courageous, when I remember that I'm independent and feisty and I operate that way, my self-esteem and sense of self goes way up. So knowing what your values are and living by them will increase your sense of self and self-esteem. On a practical level, knowing your values and what guides you can give you a really good foundation for decision-making. When you're making career choices, when you're entering into relationships, be they love relationships or work relationships, when you're taking on new projects, do so with your values by your side. When I was doing a seminar and this guy came up to me and he'd changed jobs about 5 times and he was despairing because he wasn't happy and he kept changing jobs and his whole platform for why he was choosing the next job were benefits and salary. He had given no consideration at all as to who he was, looking at the organization, what the organization valued, and seeing if there was a fit. So when you make changes, look at the organization. Look at the relationship, look at the person, look at the project, and see what that organization, person, or project values, and see if it matches who you are so that you can express yourself. Values provide a context for understanding dissonance in your life. When you find yourself stressed out, which I guess you never do, right? No, I mean, of course we do. We all do. We get to points where it just seems like things aren't working out for us. Again, whether it's in your leadership role, whether it's in your career choice, whether it's in relationships, even in your family, when there's a lot of friction and conflict starts to arise consistently, when you feel like your life and your leadership, things are not going right and things are out of whack, go back to your values, look at them, and question your choices. What am I doing? what is this job? What is this project? Am I in line with what holds meaning and value to me? Am I being myself and expressing myself? Usually dissonance and friction and conflict are signals to a collision between personal values and the values of whatever you're involved in. Values can be a tool for, like I mentioned, in choosing organizations to join, new positions, new relationships, new careers. As a leader, understanding values, your own and an employee's values, if you understand what employees value, you can understand why they're having problems. On a very simple level, I have a stepson, and he's really different from me, go figure. And I've always kind of struggled with that. And he came to one of my seminars recently, and he did a value clarification. And some of his top values were things like stability, loyalty, more, you know, and as for me, I'm independent and courageous, so I realized that, you know, hey, he's not me, which is kind of a like a buh, we would figure that, but we forget. So if you also have employees do value clarification, it helps to understand when they're not fitting. Values also help pinpoint why you're stressed in any area of work or life. And bottom line is that living by your values can actually change the world. I know that sounds a little grandiose, but I truly believe that if each and every one of us operated from a foundation of what is unique and meaningful to us, if each of us lived the life that we're supposed to live, if we led from our greatest strengths and truths and not from shoulds and what other people think or what society has us think we should be doing, I think the world would work a whole lot better. So I believe that living by your values can actually change the world one person at a time. So what I like to say as we kind of come towards the end is my belief that our future really depends and will be defined by the quality and the character of our leaders. And we really need leaders of impeccable character and uncompromising principle. So my question to you today, again, is who are you as a leader? Set the example. Know what your core values and attributes are and lead from them. As I mentioned before, I know that one of my core values is courage. It's really important that I continue to exemplify that and show that attribute to others and lead in a courageous fashion. So what are your values? What are your core beliefs? Stick to them. Let people know. Make sure you know what they are. And lead like you're going to change the world with your commitment and your passion to making the world a better place. Because you will make the world a better place. Be you. Don't be anybody else. The world needs your unique gifts and challenge. Lead from your core values and greatest strengths, the gifts that you bring to the table. If we all do that together, I believe that we can change leadership. We can change that perception that leaders can't be trusted and that people don't have confidence in us. We can regain trust, and we can together move humanity forward in a way that honors and elevates the potential and the capacity of others, and in a way that ensures the sustainability and the vibrancy of our future. So step on up to that launch pad of liftoff leadership. Hone in on your values. Make them conspicuous. Make decisions in the context of who you are and your greatest gifts. And I thank you for that. I thank you for being with us today, taking the time to increase your own capacity to learn, to be a better leader. The world will benefit from that. So thank you very much. I'm going to turn it over to Emily now, and she's going to give you some technical things, but I'm going to stick around for questions and answers. So if you want to chat a little bit, I'll be here. So Emily, take it away, babe. Okay. Let me just go to this slide here, everyone. If you have questions, that you'd like to type in right now, that now would be a great time if you have questions for Betty. I do want to point out a couple things. Betty has, she's on Facebook, you saw her YouTube, you can, here's her website if you'd like to go to it to download any of the documents she talked about. There's also some additional videos from some of her speaking engagements that I thought were really interesting. She, her book, Liftoff Leadership, 10 Principles for Exceptional Leadership, is available on Amazon.com. I hope you'll take a look at it. It's really interesting. And I think it will come as no surprise to you that Betty was in the first class of women who were admitted to UVA, graduated in 74 from Arts and Sciences. And I didn't get a chance to mention to you when I had that glitch at the beginning. She has started 6 different companies. One of them was sold on the New York Stock Exchange. She is a commercial pilot, continues to fly for pleasure, and I think you can see how independence and courage is consistent across her career. So if we have any questions for Betty, we can take any of those now. I did see a question from somebody about, I think it was you, Jay, do students use the Blackboard Collab system? And Jay, we're not answering how much is she worth. Very funny, nice try. And she's married, in case that was your question. And happily, students do use Blackboard Collab for a lot of their classes. And so this is one way that they're able to talk back and forth, and they also use it for some additional capabilities we don't use. I see a lot of thank yous from folks, which is very nice. Dagmar, I think you're on dial-up, and that's why you keep getting disconnected. One of the questions I would have for you, Betty, is when you're in a situation where the values of the company vary so greatly from your own, And you're not in a position where you can walk out immediately to another position. What would your advice be to someone who may not be in a high level of leadership? Well, the first thing I'd like to say to that is, you know, there have been times in my life where my values were in conflict with the organization that I was in. For example, one of my first jobs out of my MBA program was with Philip Morris USA, which is a great company, but I'm not too happy about their product. And their values were in conflict with mine. But I was willing to compromise for a while for the benefits that I was getting from the organization, which was a great start to my career, which was great Fortune 500 experience, and great leadership development, TOPS leadership development. So although there was a lot of conflict between my own values and theirs, I was willing to compromise for a while. The key to that is that you don't compromise for your entire life. There are so many people who get into positions that they know are not best for who they are. They don't feel like they're self-expressing. They don't feel powerful. They don't like going to work. It's okay for a while as you move up the ladder, but don't get stuck, because the cost of living or being in a career or being in a job that squashes who you are is really high. It's the cost of really your health and your happiness. You're giving your life away. So short-term spurts, okay, don't get stuck. And Emily, can I keep talking here for a second? I want to answer the question on how much is she worth. I thought that was so funny. I wanted to just share a quick story that, you know, started six companies. The one that was the most successful of all on every measure in terms of just rewarding profitability is the one that was sold to Wall Street. That company was based on a foundation, first off, of service to the customer, to actually enhance lives by providing excellent vacations to give people a break from their harried lives. The second foundation was that people had fun. That if you worked there, you had fun. If you did business with us, you had fun. The third was that we figured if we provide service, a meaningful service to others, have fun at the same time, use practical business applications in running our business and are responsible, then we'll be profitable, and we sure were. So my worth was enhanced by the application of money and meaning. Are there some other questions out there, maybe? Anybody?
Thank you.
thanks. So I think we're about done for today. I want to thank everybody. If there's any last questions, now's your time. But otherwise, we're right at 1 o'clock, and it looks like we're about done for today. I want to thank everybody. If everyone who is still on, with the exception of Benedict and Mary Ann, immediately, that will I did see that there are some questions there that are some really fabulous questions that I'd love to have an opportunity. Dane Blythe. And so I would just like to say to people, if you had some questions in the chat room and I didn't answer them, I'd love to hear from people. You can email me at betty@liftoffleadership.com. Part of a session, like get your group together and download this leadership value clarification exercise and have people identify theirs in a group and share and bring them forward at the beginnings of meetings. Another thing is there's a book by Tony Hsieh who started Zappos called Delivering Happiness, and it tells how the use of values can how they can be developed, implemented, taught, incorporated to make an effective organization. So Tony Hsieh's book, Delivering Happiness, is a good thing for that one. I don't think any value would matter the least. I mean, I guess it's a choice that you either take a stand for values that elevate and support mankind, or you choose values that squash potential and have damaging consequences. So I would say that the values that have damaging consequences and squash human potential and hurt the environment are ones that would be the least important.
I'm
When you're working with the let you know about next week. Our next seminar will be on Friday the 2nd at noon, and it's on interviewing, becoming the candidate of choice through strategic interviewing. We'll be sending out another email letting you know about our March lineup, and you should be getting that soon. We want to thank everyone again for joining us, particularly a very big thank you to Betty Shun for being our presenter, and we hope to see you all again on March 2nd. Thanks a lot, and we're signing off. Bye-bye.